is going to read a scripture lesson this morning, which comes from Acts, the second chapter. I want to give you just a brief background about this particular passage of scripture, because it begins with the words, "Now when they heard this." Well, you wonder, what in the world has come before this? Well, what's come before it, of course, is Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It talks about it right at the beginning of the second chapter. Then Peter addresses the crowd who are gathered together, and Peter, standing with the eleven, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I have to say." And Peter addresses the crowd. And then later on, he says, "You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders and signs that God did through him among you. As you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law, but God raised him up." Then he goes on to say, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you both see and hear. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." And Peter continues his message.
"Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved." And from Philippians 3:12-14, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, this is the day for intentional faith development. Wow, that is a mouthful. So I thought I would give you a very, very brief background about intentional faith development. And it says in our Cultivating Faithfulness, most of you have a copy of this book and have been studiously using it as a guide to your prayer and devotional life all during the 3 weeks that we have traveled through the 5 practices of fruitful congregations. Intentional faith development refers to all the ministries that help us grow in faith outside of weekly worship. Well, that includes all of our Bible studies, Sunday school, small groups, opportunities to be together for every sundry reason under the sun as we gather as the body of Christ to learn more about what Christ would have us do in our lives. Now, the big word in faith, in intentional faith development, of course, is the word intentional. We always love faith development. That sounds like Christian nurture, Christian education. We all love it, and there are those of us who need it more than others. But intentional says deliberate effort, purposeful action, and high priority growing in grace does not come without purposeful commitment to learning the faith and cultivating our love for God that belongs to all of us, not just a few. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together. Intentionally, Lord, we come this day to seek your wisdom and guidance in love in all that we do. Inspire us with your presence. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I read an interesting statistic this past week. Gary Bullock, in writing a message about intentional faith development, sort of stirred my curiosity. He happens to be a pastor of the Florida Conference serving in the villages. I know you've seen that advertised on TV. That's a place where people go to retire. I don't look at those very often. But I looked at what he had to say. He said, you know, a recent Gallup poll of evangelicals said that 80% of evangelical Christians say that their faith makes little difference in their lives. I thought, 80%? You mean only 20%? One out of every five, 20 out of every 100 really get it, and their faith has some dynamism in it that will give meaning and purpose and excitement to their lives? Only 20? I thought, well, if evangelicals are saying that, what are Methodists saying? Well, I found a parable that fits so well for this occasion. It's a parable about a duck who flew south for the winter. As most ducks do, they're smart, uncanny in their ability to go from New Hampshire to Fort Lauderdale. They have a remarkable sense of direction. Well, this duck was flying along with all the rest of the ducks. And one year he decided to make a stop on the way south, somewhere I think around Burlington, North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. He dropped out of the flock, and he dropped out of the flock to a barnyard below that was filled with chickens. Oh, he discovered an astounding thing there in the barnyard with all the chickens. Remarkable thing. He could eat all the food he wanted. He didn't have to get it in any other way. It was just given to him. Life was good, really good. He could just check this kind of lifestyle out. He thought, as far as he was concerned, this really was retirement. He was going to settle in. So he stayed while the friends flew south to Fort Lauderdale. On the way back, they said, would you like to come home with us? We're going on back up to New Hampshire. No way, he said. I'm going to stay here for just a little while longer, if you don't mind. After all, life is pretty good, and I seem to have everything I need, so there's no reason for me to go with you. Well, the next year when the flock came by on their way south, he thought, maybe this is the time I really need to get back with the family and fly again and be a part of them as they make their way down to the beautiful south and the beautiful beaches and the wonderful food down in Florida. Maybe this time. Well, he said, yes, this is it. So he prepared himself as he saw the flock flying by, and he did a little flapping, if I may say so, just a little, and walked a little bit and shook his legs, wobbled a little, and then made a remarkable head out into the barnyard, and nothing happened. Because he was too fat to fly. He couldn't go with him. He couldn't get off the ground. He was so troubled by all this and so taken back by it, he finally said to himself and anyone who was listening, including us, I don't think I'm a duck anymore. I don't think I'm a duck, and I'm stuck in this place with the chickens. I can't even fly to get away. I can't even fly anymore. I can't get away. I'm just stuck. I wonder how many of us compare ourselves to the duck. Here we are in this beautiful edifice, Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church, a city built on a hill for all the world to see. Oh, we have beautiful land, a beautiful complex, beautiful wind. Now we get good gas mileage coming here. It's really wonderful. The wind just... And things are pretty good here at this church. In fact, I think I'll just stick around. I don't really have to work too much in my faith here. I mean, everything is already done. I mean, somebody feeds us. Whenever we show up, thank God I'm a Methodist. I mean, every time I show up, there's some food, even if it's little animal crackers. And somebody's there to take care of the building and prepare the coffee and to lay on a message if we feel like it. You know, it's all there. And what happens? We don't have to do anything, so we become sassy and stagnant. Now, I don't really like the paint. Couldn't they do something about the weeds out there? Why don't they get a finer grade of coffee? I'm more in touch with gourmet. Or as they say it in Pennsylvania Dutch, gourmet. The question is, maybe we've been in the barnyard so long that we forget how to grow and how to reach for the winds that will carry us into the future. Not only this church, but our lives individually. Have the winds failed to sweep us out off of our feet into a future that is glorious because of what God has done for us and to us and through us? Or do we very easily stagnate? Read the record of the early church. It's just the opposite. I love it. Those who became the first converts were moved by the message of Peter. Repent! I love it. Sounds like old Methodism too. Repent! Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people came forward and said, here, sign me up right now. I'm ready to take that commitment and go on into the future. Sign me up. I'm ready to go. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day when Jesus washed my sins away. That's what the old gospel song says. And people came. And the early Christian communities thrived. Why? Read Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. They devoted themselves to intentional faith development. Not something, you know, you just sort of nonchalantly either take on or shrug off. But it was intentional. Paul said, put away the old and clothe yourself with the new. Your lives will never be the same. And the interesting thing that Paul said, and I love his words, that this growth process lasts a lifetime. It just doesn't start and stop. It lasts a lifetime. We're always in the process of becoming. Don't tell me when you were saved. Tell me how you're growing in Christ. That's the key for the Christian church as we look to the future. What does Paul say? Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal. I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me his own, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal. I haven't achieved it yet. We call it Methodism sanctification. There's no sanctification or justification. You haven't achieved it yet. Keep going on towards the goal. It's there before you. Yes, I know we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, but it's a process that continues in our lives. It's not something in the past. It's always something in the present and the future that continues to drive us. I think about the wonderful history of Methodism, and while I don't want to go into it too much today, I'm taken back by the societies. You know, John and Charles Wesley were great guys. And all of a sudden they saw out of this industrial revolution that was taking place in England something warm and wonderful that was happening to Christians, to people who were finding Christ. It wasn't stereotypical. It was something outside the box, outside the bag, and people's lives were changed. They were formed into little societies. And eventually John and Charles couldn't reach all the societies. They couldn't go to every one of them every time they were meeting. So he said, we're going to have class meetings. And it's in the class meetings where intentional faith development took place. They had class leaders. There were about 12 or so in each group, each class meeting, all throughout the communities. Wow, what a time they had. There were testimonials. There was confession. I mean, the Roman Catholics and the Church of England people had confessions. We have it in class meetings in old Methodism. There you would pour your heart out and let those who were there know what was going on in your life. And you'd study together and you eat together fried chicken and collard greens and cornbread. Oh, and blueberry cobbler for dessert. I mean, it was just a great experience. And I was reading about some of these experiences in the story of Methodism the other day, and I thought, wow, these class meetings were great. We need some just like that. And this is a story about one particular class meeting. And I thought, wow, this is some class meeting. And the chair of the particular class meeting begins, Sister Lee, has the Lord been your support this week? No hesitation now. In a moment, Sister Lee is on her feet, pouring out a record of spiritual blessings in rich profusion, the hall interlarded with ejaculations of rapture that stir the little company to increasingly fervent responses. Have you ever heard anything like that? No. It took me a while to be able to say it. But Sister Lee said this, the blessing of God is upon me. And the rapt woman concludes, he is my constant portion by day and by night. And by him I have been kept all this week from temptation. Life has become a song and a way of glory. Praise his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come the cries from all the people in the class meeting. I mean, they're getting stirred up now. And Sister Lee finally, with the evident reluctance, takes her seat. But the class leader, a shoemaker with deep knowledge of human nature, is not quite content to leave the matter there. So, you feel that this has been a week of nothing but spiritual triumph, sister? He asks. A fervent affirmative expresses the class member's assurance. No hours when the tempter caught your soul in his toils? Equally positive is the response. You feel that you have the witness of the Spirit to this blessing which has been yours? Yes, yes, glory to God. Well, Sister Lee, this is glorious. How happy you must be and how happy your husband must be. There is a pause. A sudden drop in the temperature that all feel. Sister Lee's husband is not a Methodist. Whew. Worse, he is a good deal of the town reprobate. But there have been whispers about the village that the erring husband might not have wandered so far or so frequently if conditions had been different at home. Sister Lee's eyes flash at the question, but she is slow to answer, and the leader senses the tension. Does your husband rejoice with you? He persists. Him? The woman can hold in her anger no longer. Why, that worthless scamp. He came home the other night and found me singing a hymn tune. Ah, he says, more religion, is it? At once I saw that he was fixing to make sport of me, so I flung a mop at his head, and he has been quiet since then. The class meetings were really filled with vitality, as you can see. Intentional faith development. In writing about life among the new believers in Christ, we find Luke writes in today's scripture some words that jumped out at me. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. Day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved day by day. Oh, that has stirred a song in me. I remember it back in the 70s. Some of you may remember it as well. A song that comes from Godspell. Yeah, wonderful song about the Lord. The musical started as a college master's thesis performed by the students at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and it was written around the parables that we find mainly in the Gospel according to Matthew. It became an off-Broadway production in 1971, a movie in 1973, on Broadway for a year in 1976. All 10 cast members were on the stage at the same time, and they'd move from one cast member to another, or they'd all sing together in Godspell. There is one point in the musical when the parable of the unforgiving servant is told. Do you remember that parable? Wonderful parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18. A servant unable to pay the king a very sizable amount of money he owned. So I went to the king on bended knee asking forgiveness and some help. Would you please help me? And the king says, you know what? I'm going to forgive the debt completely. Wow. I mean, here the king was planning on punishing this guy, throwing him in prison, taking all his possessions, throwing the family in prison. I mean, this was going to be awful. He begged for forgiveness and the king forgave him and cast aside the debt. No sooner than the servant receives the king's blessing, he walks outside to a fellow servant, a fellow slave, who owes him a couple of dollars. He grabs that guy by the throat and he said, I want the money now. And the guy said, I don't have the money. He said, fine, you're going to jail until I get my money. The king got word of what this first servant had done, calls him back in. He says, you know what? I gave you a break, but you didn't give your fellow servant a break. So I tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to jail, and you're going to stay there until I get the money, until you learn the lesson. Jesus said this, learn well. This is exactly what my Father in heaven will do to you if you do not forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's intentional faith development. You're not willing to forgive, don't expect it from anyone else. Wow. Day by day. And then after the telling of the parable, the Godspell cast sings a beautiful prayer that asks God for three things. You remember the song, day by day, day by day. Oh dear Lord, three things I pray to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. That's intentional faith development. It's about serving Christ. It's about following and loving. It's about individual prayer. It's about community. It's about fellowship. It's about study. It's about a way of life that doesn't stop and start. It goes on throughout your lives. Or you lose the meaning and you end up in the barnyard, not knowing where to go with the faith you even profess. It doesn't come automatically. You don't grow automatically in Christ. It has to be intentional or it isn't there. What a wonderful prayer for us. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly. We just can't lie around in the chicken coop and ever learn to fly like an eagle. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us today to your side. By your grace, O God, let every step we take bring us one step closer to you. Amen.